So here's the second lecture on photosynthesis. We're going to begin. I want to talk about the dark reaction. Now, the dark reaction is also called the light independent reaction or the Calvin cycle. And it's real simple. Kind of a reminder of what we did yesterday. Remember that the chloroplast has this pigment called chlorophyll. A photon comes in, and that photon captures the energy, and it literally, the water is ripped apart, electrons are grabbed from the water, and those electrons go through this crazy process that we learned about yesterday, and during that process, oxygen is discarded, and ATP and NADPH are produced. You know, that's where the energy from the sun is now stored. So that's kind of where we left off yesterday. And so today we're going to find out, well, what do we do now? And it turns out that we're going to do the dark reaction or the Calvin cycle, and that's where we take this pretty much boring and interesting molecule of CO2, and we end up making glucose, C6H12O6, and it's a cycle, so it's the Calvin cycle. So there are six turns to make one glucose molecule, and of course, like I mentioned, the two energy inputs are ATP and NADPH. And that energy then is translated into the glucose molecules. And like I mentioned before, it can occur in the dark or the light. It's light independent. Okay, the Calvin cycle in the next slide, I want to give an overview of it. And what's really nice is sometimes to learn things, it's what helps is to break it down into steps. And so they've actually done that for you. It's really nice. They've divided the Calvin cycle into three phases. Phase one is up. You can see, I have an illustration here up on the top. That's the carbon fixation phase, sort of colored light blue. Then we go clockwise to sort of a darker blue-gray, and that is the reduction phase, phase two. And then the final phase is sort of a darker blue, and it's the regeneration of the CO2 acceptor phase. And the product of this cycle is down here at the bottom. It's called glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate. It's a 3-carbon sugar, and it requires 3 turns in the cycle to make one of these molecules, but because ultimately we want glucose, we're going to have 6 turns of the cycle. Now, in the next slide, we talk about phase one. So let's just take a close look at phase one. What you see here is that there is a lone CO2 molecule that comes into the cycle, and it binds with what is a 5-carbon molecule called ribulose bisphosphate. Can you all say it for me? Ribulose bisphosphate. Great. And the enzyme that catalyzes this reaction is a really long, crazy name. It's ribulose bisphosphate carboxylase. Can we all say that? Ribulose bisphosphate carboxylase. But they've given it a nickname, Rubisco, which is much easier to say and remember. So let's say that, Rubisco. Yeah, and it turns out it's the most abundant protein on the planet for obvious reasons, because obviously photosynthesis is the most important process, and this is the most important enzyme and the most important process. So it's everywhere in on the planet, in plants and things that photosynthesize. So the product of this is a 6-carbon intermediate, which immediately splits in half to make 2 molecules of what's called phosphoglycerate, 3-phosphoglycerate. These are 3-carbon molecules. So you can take a 6-carbon molecule and make 2 3-carbon molecules, and that's what happens. So let's say that name of that, 3-phosphoglycerate. So if you look at my quick summary at the bottom here, you got one CO2 combines with one ribulose bisphosphate. That's a 5-carbon molecule. You get a 6-carbon molecule, which quickly splits into 2 3-phosphoglycerate molecules, which are 3-carbon molecules. Okay, and that's the end of the carbon fixation phase. Now, on the next slide, we have the phase 2, which is called the reduction phase. And what happens here, and by the way, just a warning. In terms of explaining this whole process, to do it justice, I'm kind of like in, I'm going to up the numbers in this slide, which may be confusing to you, but to make it not confusing, in the last slide, I had to look at like one example, like one carbon dioxide coming in and combining with one ribulose bisphosphate. But in actuality, in order to explain this process, because think about it, if one carbon comes in, but a three-carbon molecule goes out, what you really have to think about is you have to think of it in terms of three. So starting on this slide, I'm going to look at it in terms of three, so it makes more sense. And so what really is going on when you look at this, in this reduction phase, what you've got is you've got really two steps. In step one, you've got six 3-phosphoglycerates becoming 6-1-3-bisphosphoglycerates, as you can see there. And in order to do that, you need 6 ATPs to drive the process. In the second half of the reduction phase, you take the 6-1-3-bisphosphate glycerates and you convert them into 6-glyceraldehyde-3-phosphates. And what drives that process are 3 NADPHs. And so it requires a lot of energy in this phase. And what you get at the end of this phase is you get 1-glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate will leave, and 5-glyceraldehyde-3-phosphates will continue around the cycle. Okay, so that's what's going on. And so that can be a little confusing, but I think if you look at it, it makes sense. And what I'm going to do in the next slide is I'm just going to do it a molecule count, because I think if I do a molecule count, then that'll help you kind of see what's going on. Let's go back to phase one, and we're going to look in terms of three now. In the fixation phase, 3 carbon dioxides actually combine with 3 ribulose bisphosphate molecules, which are 5 carbons in length, and what you get are 6 3-phosphoglycerates, which are 3 carbon. Now, if you do the math, in both cases, you have 18 carbons. So we haven't lost any carbons, we've just rearranged them, okay? In the reduction phase, we begin with 6 3-phosphoglycerate molecules, which are 3 carbon molecules. That's 18 carbons if you do the math. And they're converted in, by the end of this phase, they're converted into 6-glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate molecules. These are 3 carbon molecules as well. Once again, they're 18 carbons total. So once again, in the reduction phase, we don't lose any carbons. We just kind of rearrange them. And finally, at the end of the reduction phase, I call it the output, and then phase three. And so what happens here is one of those glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate molecules leaves. That's a 3-carbon molecule. So a 3-carbon molecule leaves, and then 5 of the glyceraldehyde-3-phosphates continue. And so if we do the math, 15 carbons continue in the cycle, 3 leave. If we add that up, once again, we've got 18 carbons. But in this case, we've lost 3. Yeah. Oh, yeah, great question. It turns out that in order to capture the energy from ATP and NADPH, you have to rearrange how the carbons are arranged. And so that's what that whole thing is about. By the time you get to the end of the reduction phase, all that energy in the ATP and the NADPH are now stored in the glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate. And the way that happened was by rearranging the carbons. Okay. So now we go to the final phase, phase three, which I call the regeneration phase. And in that phase, we take the 5-glyceraldehyde-3-phosphates, and they are rearranged to make 3 ribulose bisphosphates, which are 5 carbon molecules. So what's kind of weird is we take 5 3-carbon molecules, and we make 3 5-carbon molecules. But in both cases, you've got 15 carbons. You've just once again rearranged them again. And in order to do this, 3 ATP are required. Once again, the energy goes into the molecules. And we're back to the beginning, and we can start the cycle again. So that's kind of how to think about it. Now, if we go to the next slide, we look at the total energy cost for the Calvin cycle, and let's do the math. To make 1 glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate, to make 1 3 carbon sugar requires 9 ATP total, 6 in the reduction phase, 3 in the regeneration phase, that makes 9, and then there's 6 NADPH. That makes sense. I think you all get that. But because ultimately we want one glucose, we have to do this whole, you know, what we've done here twice. And if we do this whole thing twice, then what we get is one glucose, and you just double the number of ATPs and you double the number of NADPHs. So you have a total requirement of 18 ATPs, 12 NADPHs, and that really produces one glucose molecule. And that's how you do it. Okay? So once again, I just want to warn you, the way to think about this is in terms of three, you know, because you really, because you're getting one, you're getting this three carbon molecule coming out, you got to think of three carbon dioxides going in, you know, and how that works. So it's kind of strange. If it were a one-to-one ratio, it'd be easier, but this is the way it is. In the next slide, I do a quick overview. Just want to remind you that, remember about the light reaction. The light reaction occurs in the thylakoids. Remember that the thylakoids are inside the chloroplast, and they're those little green poker chips I told you about. And remember, there are stacks of those green poker chips, stacks of those thylakoids are called a grana. And remember that chlorophyll is a molecule that's embedded in the membrane of the thylakoids, and it's the molecule that actually captures the photons, and then through that whole process that we talked about yesterday, rips the water apart, grabs some electrons, those electrons do their thing, and in the process, they make ATP and NADPH. And I want to remind you that the electrons can do several things. There's what's called non-cyclic electron flow, where the electrons go from the water all the way through and end up in NADPH. Also, you can have the electrons just cycle around, and in that process, it's called cyclic electron flow. And in cyclic electron flow, you just make ATP only. You don't make NADPH as well. So that's, and you know, of course, oxygen is a byproduct of this process. The second phase is called the Calvin cycle, or the dark reaction, or the light-independent reaction. You call it what you will. It occurs in what's called the stroma. Now, remember I told you the anatomy of a chloroplast yesterday, and I said you got this these stacks of thylakoids called the grana, but I said the grana is surrounded by this fluid, and the fluid that surrounds the thylakoids is the stroma. So this is where the Calvin cycle occurs, inside the stroma. And remember that light is not directly involved, and that the ultimate process that occurs is that the CO2 binds together and produces glucose. But, of course, the reason it's able to do that is because it gets the energy from ATP and NADPH. That's what drives the process. But, of course, ATP and NADPH, their energy ultimately came from the sun. And in my very last slide, I just give you a quick overview of the photosynthesis. Light with CO2 and H2O produces glucose and oxygen. And the nice thing about the illustration on this final slide is that it kind of walks you through what happens in a very broad brushstroke conceptual way. It doesn't get into the nitty-gritty details like we did just a minute ago in the dark reaction, or yesterday in the light reaction. Okay, so that's it for today.